Hey, everybody, it's your old pal, Justin Robert Young. I just want to let you know that if you want to support this show, then go ahead and do it at patreon.com/JURY. Again, patreon.com/JURY. Oh, hey, one more thing. Do you like politics? Well, now, hold on. Wait a minute. Let me go back there. Do you hate politics? Do you hate how dumb and binary it is and how everybody's just yelling at everybody else and you can't get any relief no matter where you turn? You're turning on some comedies, there's politics. You're turning on some sports, there's politics. Well, guess what? I'm going to sell you a politics podcast. Now, it's going to be, if you like this show, The Jury Show, you're going to like this one. It's politics, politics, politics. It's my political talk show. I guarantee you it is unlike anything you've ever heard. We really try to not only give a different perspective that is not nearly as binary as anything else you're going to hear on the internet, but also we do a little bit of the silly stuff. I guarantee you if you want to stay informed but you don't want to join a gang so you can stab anybody that has a different colored shirt on, then this is your show. Go ahead and check it out. Politics, 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 anywhere you find podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Justin Robert Young Show. My name is Justin Robert Young. I am very happy to be here with you. And I'll tell you what, this has been a fun week, man. I'll tell you, I got a really, really great tweet the other day. And we'll read your emails a little bit later, and we're going to cover all sorts of crazy stories, relatable stories. I got a story about how I embarrassed the living shit out of myself, embarrassed myself the other day. And by the other day, I mean literally an hour ago, maybe a little bit more than an hour ago. I don't know. I've talked a little bit on the show about my back, and at a certain point, I had to stop talking about my back because it was all that I was thinking of. And, you know, at a certain point, maybe I'll get more into kind of how you know, my fuller journey. Let me just say this. There was a lot of the recovery from my back being just kind of going away that I didn't want to make public, which is odd. And it's hard for me because I'm trying to make everything in my life public. It's just kind of like best practices. So I've been feeling a lot better. Like for the first time, I feel like I've just had kind of substantive, serious, progress and progress that's kind of stayed around. There's been incremental stuff that I've tried to not get too excited about, but, this has really been the real deal and it's really, been fantastic. But you know, there are times, specifically now, as I'm kind of recalibrating where I'm at, that I just kind of feel thankful. And what I want to do is start this podcast off by saying thank you. You guys listening, there's a lot of times that I get emails that are, you know, if I was listening to you and Brian and Tom and Scott and I was going through a real bad time and I was getting a divorce or I was going through a breakup or I was, you know, doing all sorts of other stuff or I lost my job and thankfully I was listening to you guys and you guys brought me out of a dark space. Well, I am here to tell all y'all that you guys returned the favor. I do not know what I would have done if I were in the place that I was probably about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, without kind of a guiding compass and a North Star of doing these shows and forcing myself to kind of deal with a lot of emotional issues because I had to present myself and talk on the show. So y'all might not have known it. Y'all might not have known it, but you were very, very helpful to me, and I greatly appreciate it. And furthermore, I got a tweet the other day that said, hey, you talking about your back on the show finally forced me to go get my back checked out by a doctor, and he was about to go into surgery for spinal fusion. So, like, that shit had to be bad. That shit had to be really, 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 really bad. He had to be having some crazy symptoms to get spinal fusion within the time that they were like, I don't know, get a cortisone shot and then wait a year and then maybe we'll see. So, like, dude, if you are listening right now, thank you for taking care of yourself. And it made me think better about being a little bit more open about my physical health. So, let me just say this unequivocally, and I need all of y'all to hear me now. Hear me now. If you are in pain, if any of the pain that I have described about myself seems relevant to your life, please go see a doctor. Please, for Christ's sakes, go see a motherfucking doctor. And I cannot say that in harsher terms. Like, do it for your boy, if no one else, all right? There are people out there that care about you. Go take care of yourself. Okay. All that's out of the way. I pooped in my maid's face today. So now that we've gotten all the sappy, feel-good stuff, reaching out to your hands touching my hands, hard times, daddy, we're all talking good, nice stuff, right? I pooped in my maid's face. I mean, I don't know about right in her face, but my poop came too close to my maid's face than any poop should come to anybody's face. Like, I'm just saying, it was uncomfortably close how close this poop came. A lot of people are saying, lead Barry, Justin has a maid. Okay. I was hoping to sneak that by you. Obviously, I didn't. When Ashley got her job at Twitch, we both kind of realized that we have too small of a house for it to live in filth. And that as much as her and I can yell at each other to clean more, that there's only so much that will happen, realistically. And now that we are essentially a dual-income family, you know, like, it's a creature comfort, all right? Listen, we have a very small apartment. Like, just a little bit of clutter kind of goes a long way. Believe you me, it's better off for everybody that we hire some folks to come in here and they clean the house, okay? Like, did I live my life as the son of a paralegal, you know, single mother, two kids scraping by, just north of welfare? Did I ever think to myself that I would have a maid? No, okay? We just happen to find ourselves in this situation where I have a maid. And I pooped in her face. Here's why. not why. I don't really have an explanation. It's not like I found out she was slowly poisoning her child. Like, I have no like big motivations to this. Like, it's not so much of a why as it is a how I pooped in my maid's face. Okay. All right. All right. Dan Wally in the chat room says, aren't you home a lot? Yeah, I'm working. All right. Like, I'm doing this for you guys. I'm talking about things. I don't have time to clean. There's all this clutter over here. And leave it for the maid. So, I get done with Unfriend Me. By the way, new podcast featuring myself and Scott Johnson. Unfriend Me, where we go through the kinds of arguments you get into on Facebook that lead to you and your friends and family never talking to each other again. We do a historical deep dive and take your calls. It's a fun time. But it's the reason why this show, The Jury Show, which used to be right after TMS at about 11 o'clock Pacific time, is now later in the evening. Now we're going to do it before the Night Attack pre-show and then Night Attack, obviously. So I get done with Unfriend Me, and I realize that I have a small amount of time for me to go get food before the maids show up. And it is in that I realize I don't really have a lot of options. So around our area, we got a couple kinds of places, but like, in a lot of Northern California, a lot of the Bay Area, we got a pretty good Mexican place right around the corner. So I decide I'm going to go to the Mexican place. There's a couple other places around. I'm going to go to the Mexican place, not the burger place. I want to try to start. I'm going to start a diet, right? So I don't want to necessarily calorie bomb myself. I figure I'm going to get some tacos, right? Tacos are a little lighter. No, go get some tacos. All right, so here we go. So we go to the Mexican place. Problem is, I'm really hungry, guys. I'm really hungry. So much so that when they bring out the chips and salsa, I inhale all of it. I realized that I just said hilariously that I was going to a Mexican place because I thought it was healthier, and then I told you that I ate an entire tray of chips, but I did. Don't focus so much on the chips in this story. Just focus on the salsa. Some pretty spicy salsa, and I'll be goddamned if I didn't inhale all of it. So then, tacos come out. Spiced steak. Mmm. Some prawns. Yum-a-dum-dum. Throw in some of that jalapeno slices on there. Some onions. The steaks, a little spicy itself. Oh, delish. Oh, I should also, by the way, mention that for breakfast, I had a breakfast burrito. And on that breakfast burrito, I put with almost every bite liberal droppings of Tapatio. I will also add that the base, the canvas for this culinary masterpiece was 3 cups of coffee. So I have in my stomach 3 tacos, very spicy. One of those serving cups of salsa almost directly poured into my gullet. A breakfast burrito, a bacon breakfast burrito smothered in Tapatio, and 3 cups of coffee. Now, I don't need to tell anybody who has eaten any combination of this food what is happening in my tum-tum. It begins a rumbling. And as I'm walking back, I'm realizing that, oh my God, I hope that I get there before the maids get there, because then I'll be able to poop very fast. And yes, I will feel bad because the bathroom smells like poop. But at least, maybe, I don't know, maybe I can open the window. I can do something. So I'm trying to hurry on up to the apartment. I get in my front door and I get in the elevator and I'm hurrying on into the elevator. And I'm hitting the button, and I'm hurrying up to the floor. And then I'm getting out of the elevator and I'm going and I take a turn over to my apartment and I take another turn that leads me into the hallway for our apartment and I see the maids. They were waiting for me at my door. There's two of them. There's two maids. Okay, jeez. Stop shaming me. Come on. Oh, yes, I have an elevator. That's not a rich people thing. It's not a private elevator. It's an apartment elevator. Yes, there's... Okay, enough. All right, yes, there's two maids. All right, so I let him in. And at that point, I have to get on a phone call to go over some stuff. And I'm trying my best to outwait the one maid that has gone into the bathroom. She is cleaning the bathroom. And I'm trying to outwait her. There's something that is going to be very, very weird. I'll tell you, follow me on Twitter, and maybe I'll try to get somebody remind me on Twitter to do this tomorrow. But there is a thing that our bird doctor does when he sees somebody that he thinks is going to let him out of the cage during the prime time daylight hours when the Deebs loves freedom. And we like to call it the doctor dance. But effectively, he just kind of hops around on, like, you know, from one leg to another and, like, opens up his wings just a little bit as if to say, finally, yes, yes, let me out. Let me out. Now's my time for freedom. And so this is the dance that I am doing. As I am waiting for this maid to finish cleaning the bathroom, I am doing the dance. I'm hopping from one leg to another and I am opening up my arms. At which point I make eye contact with my little cockatiel, Dr. Bird, and he just looks at me and says, sucks to be you. At least that's what his cold little bird eyes, that's what I think he said. He was judging me. He's like, oh, wow, do you really want something and you can't get it? Oh, man, that sucks. That really sucks. I'm in a cage right now. I can't get out. But, yeah, no, this is a horror for you. Oh, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch, Dr. Bird. All right, I'll tell you what. Touche. Touche to you. 0.1 to DB. I'm on the phone with John. I'm trying to focus on the call. I can't focus on the call. John, I gotta let you go. Boop. And so I walk over. To make matters worse, there is a language barrier with the maid in the bathroom. Let's just say English is not her first language. So now I have to explain to her that I need to take a poop and that it is going to be very much in her face. Like, she doesn't have to watch me poop or anything. Like, this isn't that kind of maid service. But there is definitely going to be a problem for her. She is going to have to deal with what I am going to do to that bathroom. And furthermore, now I am very nervous. Very, 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 very nervous about how loud this poop is going to be. Because nobody wants to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Click. Nobody wants that. Nobody. But I have to. Excuse me. I need to use the... And I just keep pointing to the toilet. And she's like, oh, okay. So she gets out. Now, luckily, it's not a cheek flapper to beat the band. Okay? It is not a Dumb and Dumber situation on our hands. But I have a question to ask of you, the live audience. If you were in this situation, and nature indeed did call and you could not put her on hold, is there anything that you would have done to the bathroom? Number one, it made me want to order some kind of air freshener. Like, I need to get a candle. Oh, I guess we can't have a candle because of the birds. But I do need to get some kind of Febreze or something in there just for these kinds of situations. I need to have some kind of backup. Because I don't know what else I could have done. I tried to open the window a little bit. I did the arm wave. Lisa J says, wait, couldn't you let her go and clean your own bathroom? Well, the problem in that, if there would not have been a language barrier, I probably would have pitched that idea, right? But the idea of, I just shitted up my bathroom, lady. Can you please not clean the rest of the house, but don't clean my bathroom? It was going to be more embarrassing for me. Now, maybe I should have. Maybe I'm a worse person for not doing that. But this is the life I have chosen. This is just what is happening. Okay. WJ says in the chat, that's not the worst thing she's seen. And believe you me, that was the thought that was going through my head. I was begging and pleading in my head. Oh, my God, please let her have seen worse stuff. So a quick inspection of the toilet itself. I want to make sure that all that is not, I'm not literally leaving poop for her. And I get out of there, and I don't know. My day is not recovered. My day is literally not recovered. I have been in the dumps, pun almost halfway intended, it shook me to my core. I feel like an awful person. Am I an awful person? I don't know. Yes, maids come to my house. And I live in a building with an elevator and I have a window in my bathroom. Yes, I know. Lap of luxury. Lap of luxury here in Oakland, California. The question of, am I a bad person? For longtime listener and contributor W. Scott is one says, as always, yes. Let's move on. Although I pooped in my maid's face, I did used to be a journalist. And periodically, I like to talk about journalism things. We like to point out kind of dumb leads and stories and trend pieces. But there was something that happened over the last 24 hours that I did want to mention. Of course, I'll tell you here. First things first, and punch me in the face for not leading off with this. But everybody, just heartbreak in Las Vegas, I guess nobody's allowed to say thoughts and prayers anymore. So it's better that we all write something new. My extreme condolences to everybody that lost somebody. And, oh, geez, I mean, what? Yeah, yeah. Anyway, all right. We'll leave the politics for the politics show tomorrow. But the other thing that happened yesterday was that Tom Petty died. And there was a weird situation that was around his death, which was that people reported it before it had happened. And so I wanted to just kind of go over for folks who don't know the kind of behind the scenes on this, how deaths get reported in television, newspapers, and online. So normally, 9 times out of 10, a death is reported because an official source is telling you that a death is reported. That's police, 9 times out of 10. And then otherwise, it's, you know, emergency medical people or, you know, other officials, people that were there in the room or heard, you know, just stumbled upon a dead body, stuff like that. First-person sources who can speak with almost 100% certainty that somebody is dead. That's how you find out in your media of choice that somebody is dead. Celebrities dying, specifically celebrities in Los Angeles, are a different story altogether. Because what you have in Los Angeles are paparazzi and media that is used to dealing with stuff like this. And specifically, media that is not unwilling to pay for sources. So if, let's say, you are an orderly, right? You are somebody that works in the hospital, and you can just on the side catch a little, you know, couple $100, maybe $1,000 by, you know, come on, just giving this information to TMZ maybe 30 minutes faster than they would have gotten it from the police, then, hey, harm, no foul. No one's ultimately going to be all upset with you because, you know, the person's dead. That's about that. That is, unless what happened yesterday happens. And what happened yesterday was very, 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 very interesting. Because Tom Petty was discovered in his house, R.I.P. Tom Petty, Florida boy. Tom Petty was discovered in his house in full cardiac arrest. By the time he was taken to the hospital, he had no brain function. He also, as part of his will, had a do not resuscitate order, meaning that once he was kind of out, you know, he was out. So by the time that he got to the hospital, it looked like it was a wrap on Tom Petty. And yet, no word. Because I think what a lot of people think with the Tom Petty thing is that somebody just jumped the gun and said, ah, well, he's coming in with no brain function. We got to just you know, call it in. He's dead. There's no way he's surviving this. And I don't think that's the case very often. I do think that even if the people that are around these folks are leaking, be they from the hospital or from the family or from some hanger-on, that in general, the news outlets know, even TMZ, probably especially TMZ, after like the Lil Wayne stuff that they had, that they don't want to report anybody dead that isn't. But here's what happened to Petty, according to reports. Tom Petty, no brain function when he comes in, gets put on life support to try to revive him. That's not working. He's got a DNR. And so, what else you gotta do? Family makes the decision to unplug. So he unplugs. Chaplain comes in, gives last rites. It's Mary Jane's last dance. And so, at that point, somebody runs off and tells the press Tom Petty dead. And this ain't just TMZ. This is like CBS, right? Oh, stop. Shift lock. Tom Petty unplugged. Stop. The problem is this. He wasn't technically dead. So, yes, he had a do not revive. No, he did not have any brain function. Yes, he had been pulled from all machines that were keeping him alive. And yes, the chaplain came in and gave him last rites. But he wasn't technically dead. And so here was the decision that you could tell was being made in those newsrooms. They were all hoping that they could just wait it out. That they could just be like, oh, God, he's not dead. People are now telling us he's definitely not dead. The family's getting mad at us that we reported him as dead. Turns out he's not dead. Well, maybe we can just wait. Maybe we can just go ahead and wait it out. Maybe we just go ahead and wait it out. Maybe we just like, let's just hang up the phones. Everybody, disconnect the phones. Turn off your phones. Everybody, phones off, phones off, phones off. Nobody can call the newsroom. We'll just say that it was a solar flare. That's it. Yep. Solar flare that only affected our building, man. I'll tell you what, that wide world of nature. How crazy is it? Probably global warming. How about that, Trump? Huh? Right? No, wait. It's been like 3 hours. Oh, now it's been like 4 hours. Oh, my God, if we said that Tom Petty's dead and he miraculously comes back to life for any stretch of time, like even if he just stays alive for another day or so, we are going to have to eat so much crow. Time is running out. We got to figure out what to do. We got to figure out what to do. We got to figure out what to do. And then CBS caved. CBS was like, well, we got a cave. Sorry, guys. We got it wrong. Tom Petty is not yet dead. And the L.A. Police Department also did the same thing. And then he promptly died. It was the last joke that Tom Petty will ever tell. The last joke that Tom Petty will ever tell is the fact that he trolled all these news outlets with his own death. Is that I guarantee you, I don't care how they got this information. I don't care if they're the Tiffany Network or TMZ. They all had coal up their butts. And when this ordeal was over, they had diamonds are forever. Their butts were puckered. Without a doubt. And they were all, I don't give a rat's patoot if they, all of them had Tom Petty posters all over their walls. When they were kids, when they're adults, they could be listening to Petty 24/7 their entire adult life. They were rooting for Tom Petty to die yesterday. Just so they didn't have to go back on it. And they had to. Petty got him. Good for Tom. But that's how this kind of stuff gets reported. That's the kind of weird stuff that goes into it. In general, man, I don't think that there's any worth being the first person to report something like that. Like, everyone's going to have their pieces up. You might as well just be third, be fourth. Let somebody else take the bullets. Let's go ahead and get into some of the news of the weird. We should get a sounder for that. In fact, let's go ahead and start with a sounder here right now. Let's go ahead and news of the weird.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
This is from the National Post. National Post is giving a throwing a bone to the Canadians, drunk Canadians, or as they call them up there, Canadians. Headline: Canada set to remove drunk canoeing as an impaired driving offense. Hey, listen, don't tell me how to live my life, National Post. This is their subhead. It's still a terrible idea, but it may no longer run you the risk of having your driver's license suspended. Here's an article from Brian Platt, is the writer. Knocking back a few brews and taking the canoe out for a paddle is still a terrible idea, but it may no longer run you the risk of having your driver's license suspended and your car impounded. As the federal government moves to tighten impaired driving laws ahead of the legalization of marijuana, it's also cleaning up gray areas in its criminal code that has seen police hand out drunk driving charges to tipsy canoeists. Police can lay other charges on being intoxicated in public, but impaired driving charges trigger harsh provincial penalties, such as automatic driver's license suspensions, steep fines, demerit points, ignition unlocking devices, and vehicle impoundment. Let's see if we can get a quote from somebody here. No, there are no quotes. Okay, here we go. Michael Vollmer, the CSBC's vice chair, that is the Canadian Safe Boating Council, said this will complicate their public awareness campaigns about the danger of boating under the influence. Quote, fundamentally, we need the law to back up our position, and changing this definition is a very difficult concept, and I'm afraid from our point of view. Oh, come on. Come on. The tipsy canoeist. That's fine. You can be a little drunk canoeing. I mean, it's canoeing. Who cares? Just get in the canoe. Also, what kind of narc a-hole cop do you have to be like issuing somebody a drunk driving charge for drunk canoeing? Just like, yeah, no, I could kind of make your life miserable. Instead, I'll try to actively ruin it. Here we go. Drunk driving charge because you had a few too many Labatts while you were in a canoe. I mean, listen, I'm not going to downplay it. Yeah, getting too drunk in a canoe is a problem. You know, you lose where you are. You could accidentally try to bang a turtle. You know, there's some real problems to that. Some real issues. Hoping by he says, is drunk canoeing that big of a problem to begin with? I guess. Tip a canoe and DUI too. Not anymore in Canada. Let's read this. This one spoke to my heart. This one really spoke to my heart. Here we go. Here's the TMZ story. Alex Morgan booted from Disney World. Cops confirm. Booted from Disney World. I wonder which part of Disney World. Team USA soccer star Alex Morgan was told by police to leave Disney World in Florida on Sunday after an incident at a bar in the Epcot Center. Oh, nailed it. Nailed it. Totally nailed it. I am pretty sure, somebody look this up for me right now, that Food and Wine Festival is happening right now. If you have not been to Food and Wine Festival, it is one of my wife and myself's favorite things to do. It is basically Epcot, which is the premier park in Disney to get drunk at. Except instead of it just being the best place to get drunk, it also puts little stands from other countries that aren't represented and sells you more food and more booze. So people go there and they just get wasted. And that's apparently what happened here. Morgan was part of a group that included several MLS stars, including Giles Barnes and Donnie Toya, who were also 86th from the park. TMZ says in their editorial voice that we're working on details from the cops, but witnesses tell us that the group had been partying at a pub in the UK section of Epcot Center when things got rowdy inside. Our witnesses say Morgan and her group were arguing with another group, and ultimately the Orange County Sheriff's Department got involved and told everybody to leave. In total, four people were booted, including Donnie's wife, Courtney. The Orange County Sheriff Department tells TMZ these are the individuals that were trespassed from Disney on October 1st. Now, here's immediately what I know, because I have been in their shoes. I have never been kicked out from Disney. That is not to say that I have not exhibited the kind of behavior that one needs to exhibit to get kicked out from Disney. But immediately I know the following. Number one, these guys made a real issue. They made a real mistake. Real mistake here. And that is when they went to Epcot, they went Mexico to the UK and not the UK to Mexico. This is a real move. I'm just going to hip y'all to it. What you want to do is not start off with tequila and margaritas. Problem. Because what you're going to want to do, you're going to start off too hot, right? If you're planning on drinking all day, you're just going to be in there and you're going to be a little lit up. Next thing you know, by the time you get to Italy, you're already too drunk. You know, and nobody wants to be halfway through drinking around the world and saying, oh, I need to pull back a little bit. Piocow says, well, look who's talking, Jerry. This morning you went from Mexico to Mexico. All right, let's leave my delicate bowels out of this. I'm just saying, these guys screwed up. Here's how I know that they went from Mexico to the UK, because there is a photo of them all at Tokyo or at Japan, the Tokyo restaurant, which is about halfway through. So if they were super lit in the UK, then you know they started in Mexico. Also, let me also say something. And by the way, anybody who works at Disney, go ahead and go ahead and hit me to this. Just email in justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. If you worked at Disney, let me know. How much do you have to do for Orange County sheriffs to get called? Because I'm pretty sure that there is a series of things that need to be cleared before you get the sheriffs called on you. So if you're just yelling at other people, then, there's somebody will bring you aside. Other people will go. You can get dragged into these little other areas that they need to settle you down a little bit. Disney is basically its own private police force. So for them to call the county sheriff, you have to be a problem, homie. You've got to be a real issue. Yeah, WJ is in the chat room, says that they are a cast member, that real trespasses are very, 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 very rare. And that's how I understand it, that they do not want. Here's what Disney does not want: arrest reports with Disney's name on it. And by the way, there's a reason why this isn't an arrest. They are literally just saying, hey, cops, get them off our property. Great Sword and H says that the actual Walt Disney has to sign off on it from his cryo tank. He's somehow smoking underwater. He's just like, what? They're letting ladies play soccer? Get her out of here. All right, folks, let's go ahead and get into your emails. We only got a couple of them, but we'll go ahead and take some rapid fire Twitter stuff as well. Oh, by the way, at Epcot, I have lost my ID. Somebody who I'm not going to name, but she's related to me by marriage, lost a camcorder there once. We've spent some time at Epcot. We've gone deep at Epcot. And then, of course, there's a great shot of when we did Big Diz last year where both Brian and I each got – we barely made it before they shut down the booze at the UK. And we each had four drinks while we watched the fireworks. It was pretty amazing. All right. You can always email the show, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Anonymous writes, yo, fuck you, New York. Oh, this is about the bodega thing and about New York people getting super upset about it. Fuck you, New York. Yeah, you may call them bodegas, but you know what? Just because it's a box instead of a corner store run by questionable, heavily accented dudes with a few dusty cans of expired ramen on the shelf and a lazy-ass street cat laying across the doorstep doesn't mean it's trying to fuck with actual bodegas. Plus, fuck you and your center of the universe shit. Fuck your couch. I mean, shit, man, seriously. It's a horrible fucking name to begin with either. In fact, if anything, the name pushes me away because we all know that bodegas are exactly like Dave Chappelle showed us in Half Baked. Stay away from that stanky shit. Plus, your airport sucks. Sincerely, the rest of the country. Wow, look at that. That was a full feather diss track from Anonymous. And for the record, I'm going to take issue. As somebody who lived in New York, I'm going to take issue with this email. I will. There is one factual error. This is a factual error, okay? Here's the factual error. Both their airports suck. They don't have one shitty airport. They have two shitty airports. No, and in fact, I'll tell you what. I'm going to say three shitty airports because I'm going to include Newark. Oh, yeah, New York. How do you like that? How do you like that? How do you like that? Oh, yeah. The airport in New Jersey is your airport, too. In New Jersey. That's below the belt for New Yorkers. Big Jim. Lisa J, Lisa J. I knew I was going to drive her out. I knew I was going to get the real New Yorkers out as soon as I said that the Newark airport was the third shitty New York airport. No, they can't. It's like catnip. Anytime that anything on either Long Island or New Jersey, and let's be frank, anything in Staten Island that's not the Wu-Tang Clan, New Yorkers fucking hate it. That's not New York. That's not New York. Come on, man. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. Dead ass. That's not New York. Let's go ahead in the blessing and the curse category. This one was sent in by Big Jim from the Twitter account. You had one job. Here's the headline. Cops beat up teen after bank teller mistakes his erection for a pistol. I mean, at least he only got beat up. At least he only got beat up. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. At least it was only that. Nobody wants to, you know, God forbid it wasn't some one of these other horrible situations where he would have got shot or something like that. Because, number one, hell of a dick, sir. That's a hell of a dick on you. Number two, if he had gotten shot and killed, I just think those are some problematic protests. Any of those in solidarity protests, any of those hands up, don't shoot. Whew. That would be certainly something to behold. And I'm sure it was the fact that it was held that turned out to be the problem for that young man who got beat up by the fuzz. All right. Let's go ahead and take a look. If anybody has Twitter questions, then you can go ahead and hit me up, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Justin R. Young on Twitter. Or if you're right there in the chat, then go ahead and do that as well. Open Bayou on Twitter writes in, have you seen American Vandal on Netflix? I have not, but I've heard very, very, very good things. Here's what I did see, though. I saw Mother. If you don't know, Mother is the new film by Darren Aronofsky. And he who did Pi and Requiem for a Dream and The Wrestler and The Fountain and Noah. It was a movie that I was told don't hear a lot about it going into it. And I would agree with that. Although I don't quite think that if you were told what was going on, it would necessarily ruin anything. Since it is close to being out of theaters, if you have not seen it, then I will try to goose you into this theater. Imagine Darren Aronofsky wrote bizarre fanfic that combined the Bible with Gaia level liberal environmental orthodoxy. Gaia mythos, effectively. It is fan fiction. It is Jetsons Meet the Flintstones fan fiction between the Bible and Gaia mythos. And let me just tell you this. When that movie goes there, oh my God. Oh my God, does it go there. I am saving from you a moment that happens in that movie for which I'm like, I didn't know you could do, I did not know you could do that. I was not aware that you could do what they do in that movie. There is something that happens on camera that I was blown away that they could do it. Now, if you don't like Aronofsky, then I can't imagine pushing somebody to go see it. If you are not a fan of Darren Aronofsky. But let me just say, oh my God. Oh my God. I loved it. I can understand why everybody would hate it. I'm not trying to say that it is going to be a good movie for you. It was a good movie for me. Great Sword NH says, ooh, it's sex. Not sex. Not sex. In fact, there is implied sex. There is no sex. And I can't for the life of me think if there is nudity. I don't know if there's nudity. It's violence. And it's violence against something that I did not think you could be violent against. All right. Here we go. We got a couple more Twitter questions here. BioCal writes, Star Trek Discovery versus Orville. I've not seen either. I'm not getting into this nerd war because I got a sneaking suspicion that I probably wouldn't like either. Fitzshiv writes, if you could baby bird anybody live or dead, who would you baby bird? Oh, man. Thomas Jefferson. Probably Thomas Jefferson. All right. That's about it. We're going to wrap it up here right now. Go ahead and follow me. Huh? Follow me at Justin R. Young on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere that stuff is to be had, that there are any kinds of social media is where you can follow me. You can also hashtag join the conversation. Oh, we got a new Reddit, right? Reddit.com/r/jurypodcast. I'm going to throw that out for the next few weeks, and we'll just see what kind of community we can get going over there. If you guys are into it, then that's awesome. If you guys are not, then we can stop plugging it. But let's go ahead and try it. Reddit.com/r/jurypodcast. J-U-R-Y podcast. All right. Folks, that brings us to the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Why is there more here left to see? I want to thank everybody for listening. I don't understand. Is it me? You can email justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Am I that difficult to read? Put Jury in the subject line. But remember that this is your old pal, Justin Robert Young, wishing you a hearty and sincere, please don't die. Do you like the way you're dressed up? Do you like how your hair gets cut? Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.